Welcome to the podcast of High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas, a place where the Word of God becomes a way of life. Our hope is that this resource will help you to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and ultimately to make a difference. We invite you to open up your heart and get ready to hear what God wants to speak to you through this message. Let's listen in.
Amen, amen. Hey, good morning. How y'all doing today? Everyone doing good? Man, I love your church. I love being here. I love your pastor. Love your people. You know, I was on staff with Pastor Tim. We've known each other. We go way back, like so far back, like cell phones still flipped, you know? And so, 04, 05. And so I've been there. We've been there through thick and thin for each other. So if you want to know the real dirt on Pastor Tim, like the bad stuff that he has done, too bad, I'm not telling you, because that guy's my ride or die right there. That's right, we've been friends for life. So excited to be here with you guys today. Thanks so much for having me, Pastor Tim. You know, I used to be on staff in Fort Worth, and then I have the privilege now, my wife and I, who's here today, my wife and my daughter, who are completely interchangeable. It's hard looking over there if you're half blind, which one is which. We work now in the field of foster care and adoption. We help churches to connect with kids that need families and help recruit and support foster and adoptive families. And over the last couple of years, we've had a special emphasis on helping older teens that are about to age out of the foster care system to get adopted. And by the grace of God, we've helped, we've done 10 videos of kids that are waiting to be adopted, and 7 of those kids have now found permanent homes in the last 2 years. Including just a few weeks ago, there was a 17-year-old boy named Axel. Now, I know what you're thinking. No, it is not the lead singer of Guns N' Roses, okay? So, but his given name was actually Charles, but he said, "I want to be called Axel." And everyone was like, "Okay, you're Axel then, fine." And Axel, we were helping to tell his story at an event in October. And it was, his caseworker said, "This is the last time that you can advocate for Axel, because he's going to age out of care in February, and this is his last shot." And it just so happened, in God's timing and his plan and everything, that a family showed up to the October event, decided to pursue adopting Axel, and 5 days before he aged out of care, that family adopted him at 17 years old. Yeah. And so it's cool. You know, we love what we do, and we use, one of the things we do is we use a lot of social media stuff to get the word out there. And I don't know about you, but I am mildly or completely addicted to social media on any given day, right? Anybody else got like an addiction problem? Like you know you're addicted when you delete the app and then reinstall it in the same day, right? Like you get convicted and you're like, "I can't do this anymore." And you're like, "But I need you," you know? Ooh, that's a problem. That's a demon. That's a Facebook demon. So I think, like a lot of us, there's this kind of love-hate thing with social media, right? Like, it's so cool and so awesome right up until the moment that it's not, right? Right up until the moment that it's really a pain in the rear. And you know, I think it's like one of those things where, you know, you just, it's just a lot sometimes, right? It's a lot. Everyone's stuff. Everyone's got their stuff on there. And there's all these different things and trends and stuff that's really annoying on there. And I think one of the most annoying things for me, other than all of the really awesome political stuff that you guys post all the time, this is my favorite, drowning in opposing views. And so I think the most annoying thing to me personally, you may not share this opinion, that's okay, but I am sick of the hashtags. I've had it. I don't want to see any more hashtags. I've got people in my life that they don't even speak anymore. They just put hashtags. It's like 37 hashtags, Pastor Tom, in the Fort Worth campus, in case you're wondering. 37 hashtags per post. It's just out of control. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, why does this annoy me so much? Other than the fact that I'm just an easily annoyed curmudgeon, right? You know, like, what is it? What is it? What is it that's annoying about this? And I was like, you know, if you really think about it, like, most of the hashtags on social media are just a kind of passive-aggressive way of bragging, right? So there's hashtag winning, right? We're like, okay, cool. We get it. You just did something awesome. You're winning at life. Then there's hashtag YOLO, right? You only live once, which means you did something stupid, but you're still bragging about it, right? Then there's hashtag first world problems. Somebody who's drinking a latte right now has probably hashtag first world problems in their life. Hashtag selfie. I'm just going to let that sink in for a moment. You've just taken a selfie. We know you've taken the selfie because we're looking at the picture and then you hashtagged selfie to the selfie. Makes sense, right? But probably the most overused hashtag of all time. I mean, everybody in the world uses this hashtag. Celebrities, athletes, politicians, you name it, is the hashtag blessed. Right? Hashtag blessed. Now, here's the deal. If there is one thing that we are as Americans, it is blessed. We're blessed. God has blessed us richly and greatly with material wealth. He really has. And even those of us that are on the lower end of the income bracket, we still have more than many people have around the world that are poor. But most of the time when people post hashtag blessed, it's really kind of that bragging thing about how awesome their life is. Because it's not like hashtag blessed while they're doing the dishes, right? I mean, they're like on the side of a mountain or at a beach or parasailing in the Maldives or something, I don't know, or holding their baby, whatever, right? It's only a blessing the first time around. After about 4 or 10 or however many your clan has here, it's like hashtag I was blessed when I was without kids. And so this is a touchy conversation in the Holland household, because if I hearken back to the days of prior kids and I'm like, that was so much fun, you don't love our life anymore. Yeah, so. But people write this, you know, it's like this hashtag blessed thing, right? And what do they really mean by that? Well, they mean that, you know, things are going pretty good in their life right now. They're doing something super cool. They're having fun. And, you know, I'm grateful for every good thing that I get to experience. I'm grateful for all the material ways in which God has blessed me. I like tacos as much as the next guy, okay? I am grateful for all of God's provision. But the reality is that those things are just the surface of the blessings that God has for us. They're just the tip of the iceberg. And so, you know, I'm grateful for food and water and transportation and clothing and shelter. And I'm really grateful for clothing. I'm glad all of you came clothed today. That would have been super awkward if you didn't have clothes on, right? It'd be a horrible start to the Sunday morning service. Grateful for all of that. But here's a question I want to put before you today. If all the material things are gone, would you still be blessed? If all the material stuff vanished, would you still be posting about how you're hashtag blessed? God has blessed us in ways that go way beyond material things, way beyond material blessings. He has spiritual blessings. He has things for us as Christians, and that's where we're going to focus on today. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1 today, and we're going to talk about some of the ways. We're going to look at 4 different spiritual blessings that the text outlines, and then we're going to kind of talk a little bit about what we can learn from this passage and how we can apply what we know about spiritual blessings to our lives. And my heart for you today is to help you to not only understand this passage, but really grab hold of what Paul says that you and I as believers have, what God has given us graciously through his son Jesus. So let's dive into the text today. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has..." Anybody know what kind of tense that is? Past. Past. "He has given us." It's there. It's already done. He's already done it. It already exists. "He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." So the first spiritual blessing, the first benefit that we have from Christ is this: it's that you and I were chosen. That God chose us. He chose you specifically you. Not only did God choose you, but he chose you before anything else was even made in the entire world. He looked forward into time future, and he said, hey, I want that one, and that one, and that one, and that one, and that one. That one's mine. I'm choosing them. So all of us at some point or another in our lives have had the either awesome or horrifying experience of being picked for a sport at school, right? So I hear some, like, moans, and I hear some, yeah, that was me. I was first, right? If you're not first, you're last. So that was me. And probably none of us are ever all good at the same thing. So depending on maybe what the sport was or depending on what we were being chosen for, you know, what we were being picked for might determine if you were picked first, second, or third, or dead last. There was one sport for me in particular. I did not get picked first. I was usually picked last. I mean, let's be honest. I'm 5'9" with my boots on, all right? And I can't jump. And therefore, I got picked last a lot for basketball. A lot. Now, pie eating contest, that was a different story. That was first overall pick. Like, first overall, you know? They're like, we want that guy. He looks like he can eat. All of us have had different experiences, positive and negative, with being chosen. But here's the deal. Here's what I want you to grab hold of today. God chose you first. You were his first choice. He looked at you and he's like, man, I want that one. And here's the crazy thing. Here's the crazy thing. There is nothing that we could do to earn that choice. You know, way too often we approach God in a way that where we feel like we have to earn his acceptance. We feel like we have to do something. And there's this battle within us as Christians that even though we've been saved by grace, that we still try to jump back into the law and legalism in order to prove ourselves to God. And we do this all the time. It's part of our fallenness. And here's one of the ways that I know for me that I'm off track. Here's how I know that in my heart I'm battling with legalism. You know how all throughout the Bible, especially in the New Testament, there's like, here's the good stuff and here's the bad stuff. Right? Good list, bad list. Galatians is a great example of it. The fruit of the Spirit is, right? And then the works of the flesh are. Sometimes I'm reading those, and I start reading, and I'm like, the fruit of the Spirit is, and I'm like, uh-oh, I ain't doing half of that. I'm only kind about 30% of the time. I'm on love, and I don't have any patience. Especially not in the car in traffic. Like, my wife the other day, like, we were driving out here, and some guy in a motorcycle almost gave me a heart attack. I mean, literally, he went past me so fast, and we were listening to praise and worship music, and dude, I wanted to be in the flesh, like, bad. You know, like, I was ready to dive full into the flesh. She just turned up the worship music and started singing louder. It's like, not today, Satan, right? We're not going there today. But I read the good list, and I'm like, man, I don't think I'm doing a very good job of that. And then I read the bad list, and I'm like, uh-oh. I think I've done some of those things. You ever read that and start to panic? And you're like, oh no, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do all the good things all the time. And you start getting this anxious, and that's when you realize that you're wrapped up in legalism, because that's the moment that grace comes in and goes, that's right, you can't, but Christ can in you. That's how the whole thing works. And so for you and I, we have these guidelines to live our life by that God gives us in the Word, but we don't do those things to earn his acceptance. He chose us. And he chose you. And here's the other crazy thing. He chose you knowing just exactly how bad you really are. Like, not what everybody else in the room sees. And there's stuff that I do that's obvious, you know, to everybody that I, you know, I have this problem. I'm surly, right, Pastor Tim? Surly and churlish. Insubordinate. Yeah. So I've got like natural things that everyone's like, yeah, that guy, he's got problems there. But here's the thing about God. He looked even deeper than all of that. And he sees not only everything that you do, but every thought that you have. I don't know about you, but I do not like that. That freaks me out a little bit. Who knows what's going on up in here half the time? You ever have a thought and you're like, I don't know where that came from. That was not good. I'm not going to execute on that thought right now because I don't want to kill anybody. You know, it's like, whoa, back it off. God sees all of that. He sees the very worst things. And he's like, you know what? I still want that one. Man, I'm going to cover that one in my grace. And I'm calling that one. I'm choosing that one to be with me. So God chose us. Verse 5, in love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Not only were you chosen by God, but he goes a step further and he adopts you. And he says, not only do I want that one, I want them to be in my family. You know, a lot of times when we think about salvation, we think about being saved from our sin, right? We think, hey, look what God did for us. He rescued us from the consequences of our sin. I don't have to pay the penalty for my sin anymore. I don't have to spend an eternity separated from God. Instead, I get to be with him in his heaven because of what Christ did for me on the cross. And that's awesome. The reality is, if that was the only thing that God did for us, we would have every reason to be grateful. If he simply saved us from our sin. But God's like, no, I wanted much more for you than that. I also want you to be part of my family. So much so, and not like, you know, some weird redheaded stepkid or something. Like out there in the, you know, on the fringes. No. God's like, you're my son and daughter now. I'm adopting you. You know, when Axel stood up with his parents before the judge was actually crying. He said, this is a miracle. I've never seen this in 20 years on the bench. But something incredible happened in that moment. That judge banged his gavel and declared that Axel was a part of the Thompson family. And in that moment, it was just as if his mom had given birth to him legally. And he was brought into the family. And now he has everything that his father owns, belongs to him. And here's the deal for you guys. You have a good father who loves you, and everything that he has belongs to you. It's all yours because he loved you so much. I have four kids. They're mostly awesome most of the time, right? And, I mean, that one on the front row is like 99.9%, and then it kind of declines after that. I only say that because they're not in the room right now, but it's true. So, and I'm not the best father. I'm not a perfect father. I'm definitely not the heavenly father. But I want good things for my kids, which means that when I pass on, I don't want to take a dime with me. I couldn't care less about anything I possess at that point. I want everything that God has blessed me with to go to them. And that's exactly what your heavenly father wants for you. He is not jealous for what he owns. He is liberal with it. And he's pouring it out on you. Verse 7, in him we have redemption. Somebody say redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. We have the word here in this verse, redemption. The best way to understand that word in the Greek, and it's a really weird, it sounds like apolousis, Pastor Tim. It kind of sounds like apolousis, yeah. And so, but it's not. It's like there's like a T and an R in there somewhere, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce it because that would, you'd laugh. So the best way to understand that, though, really is the term ransomed. You've been ransomed by God, meaning that God paid the ransom demand for your freedom. God loved you so much that he was willing to pay the ultimate price for you, the cost of the blood of his own son. I like a good kind of thriller movie that's got a little ransom demand element in it, right? Especially like the international thriller ones where some terrorist has a group of people and he's making demands of the government, you know, the United States government. He's like, hey, I want, you know, $22 bazillion plus a helicopter, or I'm going to blow up something, right? I'm going to kill these people or whatever. I love those movies. They're so tense. You don't know what's going to happen. And there's like negotiation and all this stuff. But what does the United States government always say, whether it's the president or somebody else, when it comes to negotiating? What do they say? Anybody know? We don't negotiate with terrorists, right? Aren't you glad that your Heavenly Father didn't feel that way about you? Because the reality is the terrorist of our soul had us captive in our sin. And he had the right to do that because of our sin. We had given him that right. And the Father came along and said, you know what? Name it. Name your price. Do your worst. I still want him back. I want them to be in my family. And he paid the price. God paid the price so that you could be free from the power of sin, so that you could have freedom from sin. Now, sometimes we think about that, you know, we're like, freedom from sin. Man, God paid that price. That's awesome. But how many of you ever thought about this before? You're like, man, I keep hearing about how we have freedom. You know, we're free from sin, but I'm pretty sure I still sin. I'm pretty sure I'm still doing some bad stuff every now and then. I'm not totally sure, but, you know, I'm pretty sure I still sin. Probably a bunch of you probably already sinned today, like on the way to church. Like it's a statistical fact that sin increases in the 10 minutes before church by 78%, okay? It's like you're on the way to church and the kids are in the car and, there is sin in that moment every time if you have children. At some point it is like, you get in the car now or I am literally going to kill you. I have murder in my heart right now towards you, child. And you get in the car, you're halfway to church, you're like, oh, great, you don't have shoes on. Awesome, that's killer. And now I have jelly on my fingers from touching you, you know. And there's, you know, we mess up. So what's the deal? What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. It means that God paid the penalty for your sin, and it means that you don't have to sin anymore. You're not under the power of sin anymore. You've been freed from the power of sin, which means this. I mean, before you were in bondage, you couldn't help it. Like, you couldn't help yourself but to sin because you were a sinner. That was it. But now you have been saved by God, and through the help of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus, you have the ability to rise above that and say no to that sin. You have the ability to access the help of the Holy Spirit and walk in freedom and make right choices. And when you make the wrong one, to make it right quickly, to ask for forgiveness and run to the throne of grace. That's what it means to have freedom from the power of sin. That's what you were ransomed for. Verse 11, our last portion of scripture today. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So we've been chosen by God, we've been adopted by God, we've been ransomed, but we've also been marked by God. God has put his stamp on you. Just like a king in the olden days with a signet ring that would dip that thing in wax and stamp it to a piece of paper to say, hey, this is mine. I actually wrote the words that are on this page. I'm giving this decree. In that same way, God has placed his stamp upon your heart. And he looks at you and he says, that one belongs to me. And he seals us with the Holy Spirit for our own benefit as well, so that you and I can know that we're in Christ because we have conviction of sin, because we have that inner witness of the Holy Spirit, because we know when we've done wrong, and we know when we've received comfort, and we can sense the nearness of God, and all of that helps us to know, hey, I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ because I can sense the nearness of the Holy Spirit, and I know when I'm wrong. I know when I'm being bad because the Holy Spirit helps me with that. How many of you have a situation at work where you have a break room fridge? Anybody got the break room fridge that you can take your food and put it in? We've got one. It's a mini fridge, so you can't fit much food in there. But the break room fridge is a place of wonder and delight and also horror, because, you know, all of us at some point, what do you do? So you have your food at home, and then you write your name on the outside, right? And then you put it in the fridge, and occasionally what happens? You sound like you have some personal bitterness to work through about stolen lunch. I mean, that was a quick answer. Someone out there is eating other people's food out of the break room fridge. Here's the harsh reality. In a room this size, some of you in here have eaten other people's food out of the break room fridge. I don't know who you are, but I will find you. No. I mean, it is... It is like, it is the craziest thing. And, you know, you're looking, you're like, I put food in there and someone else thought that my leftover ravioli was theirs. I don't know what to do about that. There's this great episode of Friends where Ross is super excited about his post-Thanksgiving Day sandwich. His sister, Monica, makes him a special sandwich with the leftovers from Thanksgiving every year, and she makes it super special. And the thing that she does that makes it the best is she takes a third piece of bread, soaks it in gravy, and inserts it in the middle of the sandwich and calls it the moist maker. Yes. And some of you freaked out at the word moist just now. Like, you threw up in your mouth and got triggered because that's a problem word for some people. So I'll keep saying it. So the moist maker sandwich. That's why I'm here. That's why Tim brings me here. It's like, you get me mad at me and not him, right? So he makes a sandwich with the moist maker in it. It's super moist and juicy in the middle there. And he writes his name on it. He writes, you know, Dr. Ross Geller, comma, paleontologist or something. I don't know. Puts it in the fridge. He goes to work. He's super excited. He opens the fridge at lunchtime. No sandwich. He looks over and there's a guy eating his sandwich. And the guy doesn't even care. And Ross freaks out. He gets like suspended from work for 6 months. I don't know. I've watched the show once or twice. And so he's got this big problem. But nobody cares. Why? Because no one respects that dude. He literally gets no respect. His own friends make fun of him for being a paleontologist. And he's a doctor. No one respects him. But what if it wasn't, you know, Dr. Ross Geller or Andrew Holland on the outside of the sandwich bag? What if it was like the boss's 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 boss, like the person that owned the company, and it's their name on that sandwich bag in that fridge? You think anybody's going to eat it? You have the boss's boss's boss, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, has written his name on your heart. And he says, hey, that kid's mine. They're set apart from me. They've been marked and stamped, and nobody or nothing can change that or touch that or do anything about it. So we've been chosen. We've been adopted. We've been ransomed. We've been marked. Here's a couple things I want you to take away from this passage today as we get ready to close. Four things. Number one, spiritual blessings take place in the unseen realm. Spiritual blessings take place in the unseen realm. And here's what that means. Here's what that means for you and I. It says there that spiritual blessings happen in heavenly places, which means this: you can't see them, right? So all the other blessings that we have, the tangible stuff that we can touch, those are things that we can see and touch and grasp. But spiritual blessings, they happen in the heavenly realms. They happen in the unseen places. It's not in heaven, but it comes from heaven. And it's a spiritual thing, and it's present in the spirit realm here on earth, which means this. Here's why we're saying that. Here's why that matters. For you and I to have those, to access them, to know that they're with us, we have to have an awareness of them. We have to meditate on them and think on them. We have to focus on them, right? We have to think on the good things of God. And one of the things that God wants for us today is to experience in our minds the present reality of these blessings, to be aware of them. He wants our thoughts to be consumed with them. So that's the first thing, is that they're in the heavenly realms. Here's the second thing. Spiritual blessings are found in Christ. They're in Christ, which means this: you can't experience them outside of faith in Christ. Now, anybody can receive what's called common grace from God, just the grace that he pours out to us because he made us and we're humans on this earth. But not all of us experience God's saving grace, the special grace that is saved for those who are in a relationship with him. And because of that, these spiritual blessings that we're talking, anybody can have a nice car or nice things, but only those of us that are in Christ get to be chosen and adopted and ransomed and marked. The third thing is that spiritual blessings are a gift. They're a gift from God, which means this: you can't earn it. There is nothing you can do to take credit for it. Sometimes with material blessings, we have a tendency to take a little credit, right? We're like, hey, I kind of made that happen. I played a role in that. But spiritual blessings are 100% a gift from God, and there is nothing you can do to get them. Number four, here's the last thing. It's what I want to leave you with today. Spiritual blessings are eternal. Earthly, physical blessings all fade away eventually. They're great, and God desires to give them to us. But think about this. Everything. Somebody say everything. I'll send you out on a sobering note. Ready? Everything you have and everything you own right now will be dust someday. It's all going away like Avengers Infinity War characters. Right? Too soon. Hey, guys, it's great. I'm glad God blesses us, but it's all dust. At the end of the day, it's all dust. Everything that we own and everything that we have here, it stays here in the earth. But the blessings that we've received from God, the spiritual blessings, those endure. And we get to experience the result of those for eternity, and they are eternal things. So my prayer for you today is this, is that as believers and as Christians, sometimes it's very easy for us to get caught up in what's normative in our culture, which is materialism. And to be able to look at things and have our focus just shift a little bit, where we're thinking all the time about being blessed and having that being related to the material things that we own and possess. And the reality is for you and I is that being blessed means so much more than that. Let me pray for you today. Lord, thank you. Thank you for every person in this room today. Thank you for the fact, Lord, that when we're believers, that you chose us, that you ransomed us, you adopted us, and you sealed us with the Holy Spirit. And we're so grateful for that you've done that in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim once again coming to you from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank each of you for listening personally to this message, but I need you to understand that this is not a replacement for a good church home. So if you're ever in the Longview area, we would love to see you and meet you and hear your story and hear what God's doing in your life. So drop by one of our Sunday services. If you want to check us out online, it's perfectly okay as well, highridgelv.com. Let me just talk to you for one last moment about your walk with Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know where my walk with Christ is. I'm not sure if I've asked him in my heart. I'm not sure what happens at the end of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with God, but I've gotten away from it. Friend, whether you've never asked Christ into your heart or you've walked away from him, I believe that if you could see it right now, God himself is reaching down his hand to you. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I found myself in the exact same place many years ago, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that something needed to change. I needed help. Somebody loved me enough to help me. It led me in a simple prayer, and I'd love to have the same wonderful opportunity to do that with you as well. So if that's you today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with Christ but you walked away from him and he knows it and you know it, then let me pray this prayer with you. You can say this out loud or in your heart right where you are. I believe that God will hear this prayer and your life will absolutely change today. So pray with me. The prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came and died but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart, be the Lord of my life, forgive me, heal me, change me, and give myself to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so thrilled about the decision that you just made. Would you do me a favor? Go online and send me a message if that's okay. highridgelv.com/contact and click on the tab that says send us a message. Let us know what just happened inside of your heart so we can send you some resources and help you out in your walk with Christ. That would mean a lot to us if you would. I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity, for your tithes and offerings. The way that you guys have financially supported us is just incredible. We could not do it without you. If you'd like to financially support us as well, you can go to highridgelv.com/give. If you'd feel so inclined. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We love you. God bless.